Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach, and Jane is on vacation for the next couple of weeks. We hope she's having a good time. We hope she is vacating and relaxing, but I will be your host for the next couple of weeks. But as always, I have on the boards next to me, Mr. Sweet Calby. That's what I'm going to call you now, Mr. Sweet Calby. Do you like that one, sir?
Whatever works, I'm happy. I love all the nicknames.
You do?
They make me feel warm and fuzzy inside.
If you can see the look on his face right now, he feels warm and fuzzy, everyone. Well, welcome to the show. We're happy you're joining us today. And yeah, we've got a great show for you today. We got a great couple of weeks ahead of us all. Today on the show, we got Todd Alba coming live from Chicago. He's been there all week long from the DNC and a report on the excitement, all the stuff going on down there. We're also going to have J.R. Ratcliffe coming up at 11:33 with all things sports, talking about the Brewers and their last-second loss to the Cardinals, as well as, of course, it's Thursday, so it's time for wine with Weather and Wine with Brittany Merlot. Actually, we can talk about a couple of stories she's working on as well. So you want to tune in for those things. And over the next coming days, we're going to have our regular guest, Dan Schaefer. We're going to have Paul Noonan, more Weather and Wine. It's going to be great. Public service announcement, of course, on Wednesdays. But we'll have some special guest stars, guest hosts coming up tomorrow. My friend Amy Westrup will be joining us for the entire show as my guest co-host. And we got Angela Lang from Black Leaders Organizing Communities. They're going to be coming in. That's going to be wonderful. So stick around for the next few weeks. Stick around all the time because we're here to talk about some fun stuff. And we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the fact that night three of the DNC wrapped up yesterday evening. It was a late one again. Cal, did you get a chance to watch any of it?
I watched clips on TikTok. I watched the entirety of the festivities on Monday, and I'm admittedly a little burnt out from that, so I've limited it to clips since then.
So it's like your screen time. You don't limit your screen time, but you're limiting your DNC time.
Yes.
I get that, yeah. Last night was another great night. We had speakers like, we had Bill Clinton speaking, and I told Pat this morning on Up North News Radio, apparently he went longer than Joe Biden, because when it comes to public speaking, especially in a DNC setting, Bill Clinton is going to have thoughts. And he will talk. But he was there. Of course, Tim Walz was there, gave a great stump speech, gave just a rousing story of his life. You know, we're very familiar where he comes from, but he put it all together in about 20 minutes from, you know, his roots in Butte, Nebraska, all the way up to Minnesota, where he is now currently the governor. As we all know, Coach Walz, you know, veteran, father, coach, all those things. And we got a surprise from Miss Oprah Winfrey. Have you heard of her, Cal? She's an up-and-comer in the newsroom world.
You know, I think I might be familiar.
Yeah, she came. I mean, it's in Chicago. When you say Chicago, you can barely say Chicago without saying Oprah. But she came in and she gave a fantastic speech. We're going to talk to Todd Alba about all of those things. And I mentioned the name Jay right there because I wanted to give a shout-out real quick. Meant to do this yesterday. Didn't do it, so I apologize. I want to give a shout-out to Jay, who I met on Tuesday at Lakefront Brewery. He was at the Drag Bingo event I co-host, which is very, very fun. We do that once, sometimes twice a month at Lakefront Brewery. And fun fact, Calvin, the host of that, Granny Bingo herself, will be one of our guests coming up next week. We'll have Esther Flonase herself here in studio talking about drag culture, and, you know, the importance it leads to the conversation here we're having the past 6 months to a year with regard to the work that she does and how it affects her. And she wants to talk about it with all you here. So stick around for that. That's going to be next Wednesday, all morning long. And yes, I was there. I was working. I co-host that show with Esther and I was doing some work. And all of a sudden I heard a guy come up and say, "Hey, you look like you could use a BLT sandwich." And if you don't know what that means, folks, a couple days ago, I gave some fiery, spicy comments on the BLT sandwich. I will not get into it again because frankly, my doctor has told me to lower my stress levels. And the amount of hate I got between the BLT, Calvin, as well as the not knowing that Jump Around is played at the Badgers games. I'm sorry. I'm a nerd. I played guitar in my bedroom when I was a kid, so I didn't watch a lot of sports. But regardless, I guess I know which triggers to pull when I want to get the audience spicy on us. And Jay was very nice. It was very lovely to meet him. Thank you so much for coming out. Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Thank you coming and supporting drag bingo. We really, really appreciate it. But yeah, so Calvin, was there anything that stuck out to you at the DNC?
Well, I mean, I didn't totally get to share my thoughts about what I thought of Monday's speaker, so I'm going to go back to that.
Oh, sure. Go ahead. Bit. Yeah.
I thought AOC was fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
She blew it out of the water.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I also was impressed with Senator Warnock. I think now we're all really excited for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, so I expect that they'll also be the nominees in 2028. But I think Warnock AOC would be a fantastic future presidential ticket.
Ooh. I think about AOC running, and I think she's wonderful. I think she's a fantastic politician. She, you know, really loves this country and she speaks her mind truly. I'm not saying it's a hard sell, but it's an interesting thought.
Yes. I understand she's a tough sell for moderates in the current environment, mm-hmm. and with her current characterization, but I don't know how accurate that characterization is anymore.
Yeah.
And she's shown herself to be able to reach across the aisle and work on bipartisan bills. So I think she has a bright future in the party.
There you go. Well, anything from yesterday or any other? I mean, we talked a lot about, of course, the Obamas. Anything from yesterday stick out for you?
Yeah. When Tim Walz's championship football team was out on the stage, yeah. That was pretty awesome.
That was pretty cool. I didn't mention it before. I'm like, there's a 25 years later, it's like, jersey still fits, coach. Okay, Walter. Yeah, sure it does. It was another wonderful night. And actually there was some news reported from the Harris campaign on the rally on Tuesday in Milwaukee that happened simultaneously to the DNC in Chicago. What happened was Kamala Harris and Tim Walz came to Milwaukee. They did a rally. They did it to an audience of 18,000 people. They did the final count, about 18,000 people, which is basically their capacity. And then you want to hook in the capacity of the United Center, which is another 21,000. That's nearly 40,000 people in on one event going simultaneously, on top of the fact that the news is reporting that the viewership is through the roof for the DNC. It's like, I think the Obamas brought in like 21 million people watching. I mean, that's like 80s sitcom comedy type of numbers. We don't see 20 million people watching television the same thing at one time usually anymore. But that is pretty impressive. That's a lot of energy. So,
well, yeah. And that's just what they're estimating from TV viewership. I know there are multiple like influencer streamer types, mm-hmm. that were doing live streamed reactions to it. I know the C-SPAN YouTube page had a couple thousand, maybe tens of thousands of people watching it on the YouTube stream, just the C-SPAN feed. Like, there's definitely a lot of attention and excitement around it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, it's electric. And I mean, even the people who, even the people who don't like them are watching, because you just can't help but watch. You can't help but be a part of it. And, you know, they're making their comments and I disagree with them, but, you know, to each their own. So yeah, we are going to talk to Todd Alba later in the first hour, actually around 10:30, we'll be talking to him about what he's seeing on the ground, what he's reporting, and just some, any good stories you might see from Chicago, hanging out with our Wisconsin brethren from the news outlets. So, before we move along, we're gonna be hitting a break real quick, but just want to talk about something really quick here. Calvin, as we all know, in 2020, the Wisconsin Supreme Court outlawed drop boxes, the very convenient, very safe method of depositing your ballots during the election time. They were basically made illegal. They were no longer allowed to be used, covered for 2 years. And in 2022, it was made illegal. Sorry, in 2022, it was made illegal. And then just this year, the Wisconsin Supreme Court said that they are now legal, able to be used, and I want to talk about that when we come to the other side of the break. Before we do that, Tom from LA has been waiting. Thank you so much for waiting here. Welcome to the show. Tom, how you doing?
Hey, Greg, I'm doing great. Happy democracy warrior here. joyful democracy warrior. Let me correct myself there. I wanted to say, yesterday we were talking about Donald Trump talking about rapists, and he was talking about killers or something like that.
He was talking about crime that he had no real statistics for?
Yeah, all I got to say is Donald Trump, OLD, must know where the rapists are because all he has to do is look in the mirror. So he might have a pretty good idea of where those rapists actually are because he is one. So I wanted to say that. Besides that, I think Bill Clinton was incredible last night when he talked about over the past years, Democrats have created 50 million jobs. Republicans have created 1 million jobs. So he even said that he checked it three different times to make sure that that was the truth. But yeah, in the past, since he was president, the Democrats have created 50 million jobs to the Republicans, 1 million jobs.
All right.
So we know who truly are the job creators. But yeah, I think he needs to just look himself in the mirror and he'll find the right
thing. Okay. Well, thanks a lot for calling, Tom. We appreciate you reaching out as always. Yeah, I mean, as we talked about yesterday, the energy is kind of lowering in the Trump campaign. And it's getting kind of, I don't want to say, I mean, I'm not, like we said, we're not assuring victory and we're not running like we're winning. It's about keeping the momentum going. Am I right, Calvin?
Yeah, I mean, it's all, it feels like we, it's this incredible moment and it is this incredible moment, but it's only August 22nd.
Yes, we still have 74 days until election. And we're going to talk about actually more about election and voting when we come back. So please don't go anywhere. Stick around. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
And she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't help. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Box, sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is on vacation. We're happy to have you here on this wonderful, beautiful Thursday in downtown Waukesha. You're listening to WAUK, 540 AM. On the boards, as always, is Calby, Sweet Calby, Sir Calby. There's so many nicknames now because he loves them all. Keep them coming. Send us more nicknames. I think we need a refresher. That's what I think we need, Calvin. Tony on the live stream said, during our discussion, Walls was awesome. Great speech. Very relatable. Great guy. Talking about the DNC last night, where vice presidential nominee Tim Walls, governor of Minnesota, accepted the nomination and gave a great speech, giving his story to the people in the United Center in Chicago, as well as all those listening and watching around the world, really, when it comes down to it. And Mr. Andrew from Maine said, is Jane vacationing in Chicago today? All you need to know, Andrew, is Jane is taking a well-deserved rest. She's vacationing. She's vacating. She's relaxing. And we wish her nothing but the best. And when she comes back, it's going to be amazing, as always. So thanks, everyone, for listening on the live stream. And on the text line, Sherry from Horicon, hello. She texts every single day to, I think, almost every single show, Calvin. She is a listener. She is a power listener, and we love her. Sherry and Horicon, thank you so much for listening. When we last spoke, we were talking about voting. The Wisconsin Supreme Court, as we all know, legalized the very safe and very capable voter drop boxes, the ballot drop boxes that were in various places all over the state, if you saw them, reversing a decision from 2022 from the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, which said that they were illegal. But here's the difference, is the Wisconsin State Supreme Court did not mandate municipalities to use them. They gave them the option. And in, I believe, April, we saw a decision come down from New Berlin saying they were not going to use them. Well, last night, the City of Brookfield Common Council voted to also not use them, citing that they are unreliable and could lead to mail fraud, voter fraud, all those kinds of things. And here's the weird thing, Calvin. Guess what, Calvin?
What, Craig?
The people of Brookfield overwhelmingly wanted this. They wanted access to voting. Go figure. Shocking.
Well, it's, and I don't even want to suggest this because there are groups who have suggested it, but it's even just a lack of consistency.
Yeah.
How is a Dropbox any different than a mail-in ballot? Which, of course, now that I said that, they have gone after mail-in ballots as well, but I don't understand how you can say, one's fine, but one is a problem.
Well, that is the inconsistency here, is we have a Wisconsin GOP which is saying, vote early, bank your vote, get in there and vote. That's great. Then you have a former president who says, it's theft, it's voter fraud, it's a sham, it's a stolen election. But then you have the same president, former president, saying, I voted early. Way to go. It's just, as you said, Calvin, an inconsistent message that doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me. And frankly, if the people are asking for it and you vote it down, I want to know what your agenda is personally. That doesn't make sense to me. And that's what the, you know, the common council who voted for it should answer to. The problem is now this throws a wrench into the people of Brookfield. My mom lives in Brookfield and, you know, she's a 79-year-old woman and she has things to do. And if she wants to be able to cast her vote, she should be able to cast her vote and however she feels. And taking away this option is taking away the ability to cast your vote.
Yeah, I mean, I personally have only ever voted in person with a paper ballot. But that has more to do with my personal idiosyncrasies.
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything, like, if people should have the option.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, is it's about the choice. If you don't want to vote by Dropbox, that's fine. You don't have to. There's no law saying you must. You don't have to vote early. You don't have to vote by mail. You can vote in person on the day. That's fantastic. Cast your vote. Go to myvote.wi.gov and find out more information about that, because you want to make sure that you know your polling place. You want to make sure that you know what's on your ballot. And you also want to make sure that you are registered, because that's very important as well. Because as we know, sometimes shenanigans happens. But so far in Wisconsin, we haven't seen a lot of shenanigans as far as forcing people off the voter rolls. But just make sure you are registered. You can register on the day. And it's going to be very important. We have a November election coming up, as we all know. Did you know we had a November election coming up, Calvin? I mean,
you know, I almost forgot.
Soon-ish, I would say. And as we all know, when the Wisconsin GOP legislature can't do something through the legislature, they're going to do it on the ballot. And there's talk, and it seems like there's going to be yet at least one more constitutional ballot question. And this one is going to be going after voting. So I don't know if I have a lot of information right now. I'm only saying this to get yourself ready, because we will be talking to Deb Cronmiller in the coming weeks to discuss whatever the language is on these, I'm sure, very clear written constitutional amendment questions. But stick here with Matt and Aaron Air and every show on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be talking about this, because we don't need to have referendums on every single ballot. We didn't need to have one a couple weeks ago. We didn't need to have one in spring. And they're written confusingly to cause confusion. And then it just is basically like it was a couple weeks ago. It was a power grab, which failed miserably, which I was happy to see personally. I don't know about you, Calvin, but when I saw those numbers come in on that Tuesday night, it was fantastic. So,
I was honestly shocked. I don't know if it has to do with the media did a better job of informing people about these amendments, or if it had to do with Republican apathy towards Eric Hovde or not having a challenger. I'm not sure what the explanation is, but I'll take it.
I mean, honestly, I think it's a little bit of column A, column B, column C, column D. You can look at all of them and they're all mitigating factors. You know, in no way, shape, or form do we sit here and say, we are the reason why this was done. I'd like to think that we are the reason why conversations may have happened. You know, whether it's on our show, Earl's show, Todd's show, we are all talking about these things. But it really was a concerted effort to educate people and get them informed and let them make their own decision, of course. But we don't want to hand over more power to people who are going to do nothing with it. They're going to sit on money to not help people. That didn't happen. Once again, I just want to say thank you for doing that. Thank you for casting those votes. But yeah, get out there, vote, get yourself informed, get yourself to common council meetings too, because that's actually where the real work that affects you goes on. Those common councilors bet on people not showing up and not know what's going on. And if you see something, especially that's hindering your ability to vote, find out when your meeting is, go there, make your voice heard. They have public comment sections of every meeting. And yeah, Brookfield Common Council voting against the will of the people to take away an aspect of voting is just reprehensible and not cool. Is that what the kids say, Calvin? Not cool?
Yeah, not
bro.
Cool. Well, and also in the last couple seconds we have here, not only attend the meetings and make your voice heard, also run for those offices.
Yes, you heard it. Resident young person getting involved in politics telling you, run for those offices. Stick around. We have Todd Alba joining us coming live from the DNC in Chicago right here on Matt and Air on Air. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am sitting in for the incomparable Jane Matt and Air while she is on vacation. And we are joined by, of course, our board lord, Sweet Cal B, the spicy one, Calvin Butenhoff. And we want to welcome the, resplendently dressed Todd Alba of the conveniently named Todd Alba Show here on Civic Media from 12 to 2 every day, coming live from Chicago. Todd, you look fantastic. Oh, can't hear you, buddy. Oh, you're muted. Oh, there we go. Okay, we did it. Technology right, rules.
Does that work?
There we go. We got you. Work? Yep.
Can you hear me? All right. I just got yelled at by law enforcement for stopping in the middle of the road.
Do they not know who you are, Todd Alba of the Todd Alba Show?
I know, right? No, not really. No, I clean up well, Greg. That's the secret. Once in a while, I can put on a tie and look halfway decent. I wish I was more casual wearing my, you know, for those that don't know, Greg and I have matching Brewers jerseys. So
we
I wish
do.
I was wearing that today.
Hey, listeners, are you jealous? Todd and I can match sometimes. Todd,
so how you been? What's going on?
Oh, you know, we're just rocking and rolling here. We're having fun. We're feeling the energy that you all are bringing from Chicago right now. It's been wonderful reporting from you and from Earl, Terry Bell, Pat Kreitlow has been giving us good stuff here. And I mean, it's just absolutely obvious that even though each night has a theme, the overarching theme is joy. And
all right.
And yeah, I mean, tell us what you've been seeing these past few days.
Well, it's been a remarkable few days here in Chicago, and I will echo that just from the delegates I've talked to, from the people on the ground, from the volunteers, talking to some Chicagoans down here, is it's just a lot of joy. And I think one of the big things coming to this convention, and I think there was some hype by some of the media, quite frankly, and others, was this going to be safe? Was it going to be violent? Yeah. Were the protests going to get out of hand? You know, oh my gosh, people want to exercise their First Amendment rights. No, heavens forbid. Guess what? I spent some time yesterday after I got out in and around the designated protest area, and it looked like a very peaceful sit-in, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, people were expressing themselves. They had amplification. One group I would say maybe had 200-300 people at it. I'm sorry, I don't know all my parks. There was a Grant and another park that probably had, I'm guessing, maybe 1,000 people at it.
Yeah.
People had flags and signs, but, and the only the one person, I'm only one person, right? I can't be everywhere. But the only one altercation that I saw was a young woman who had a megaphone who it looked like to me was intentionally pushing up against, it looked like a bicycle barricade, in order to knock it over. And there was like five police that came over, never touched her at all, and just gently put the barricade back up. And that was it. Like that was your big, that was your big altercation, quote unquote, for the day. So any stories that you might hear about, you know, again, I haven't been everywhere, but I've been around a lot of the places here, in around United Center, in around Chicago. I have yet to see anything that would constitute major violence or altercations or anything like that. And I think that's great news. That, and I think that's one of the things coming out of this convention, Greg, is unlike at the Republican National Convention where it was a monolith and people were literally raising their hands to Trump and it was all about Trump, at this convention, people are allowed to be differentiate and to have individual opinions. But the cool thing is, like Michelle Obama said to this convention, these delegates, don't Goldilocks this thing. It doesn't have to be just right. Mm-hmm. And that's what we keep hearing. And Trigby Olson and I from the Lincoln Project keep noticing this as former Republicans, that every night it's signs and cheers of USA, USA, this patriotism, this country, that Tim Walz last night just was like a fountain of joy. Of his enthusiasm and bringing people together. You know, he said it. He said it. Look, back in Minnesota, we don't agree with all our neighbors all the time. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We can be neighborly and we can help one another when we need it. And that's what America should be about.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I was going to bring up the Michelle Obama comment as well. I thought that was a great way of putting it, is that, you know, so many times, you know, the Republicans are really, and you know this, as you said, you were a Republican until 2011. They vote as a monolith, and what dear leader says, you enact, you believe. That's all. It's, you know, if the sky is blue today, if the sky is blue red tomorrow, then the sky is red tomorrow. But sometimes I feel like what liberals and Democrats and people who even lean left can do is, you know, put a hole in their shoe by when they say, like, oh, this person isn't everything I want them to be, therefore I have to say so. No, it's in a moment like this, we need to coalesce, we need to come together, and we need to hold them accountable. But it doesn't mean we walk away from the process. And this has really been, and something, you know, Todd, I've seen in this, especially in this DNC, is what you just said, the patriotism. I think it's another thing that Democrats struggle with, is the, you know, that symbolism, the American flag means many things to many people. And the star-spangled blue denim truth of patriotism can be hard for people to swallow, but this is a situation where we feel like, no, this is our country, this is our flag, this is our democracy. We're going to come together and we're going to have the right people to do it, and we're going to say it out loud, and it has been wonderful to watch.
It's been fantastic to watch. And to go back to your point about Republicans, a former Republican, it didn't always used to be that way. I mean, in the 80s and 90s, I mean, and this would be hard for some people to imagine, but yes, there were pro-choice Republicans. I worked for one, Scott Klug, in Congress. And, you know, there was a diversity of opinion in the Republican Party at one time. That is all but gone. Yeah. And you're right. I think that this party, that Kamala Harris, Tim Walz, you know, the leadership of this party and this convention, it's been astounding just to see this and to focus on the joy, but focus on the fact that our differences are our strengths. And I think that any community in Wisconsin, doesn't matter whether it's Kenosha, Milwaukee, Green Bay, Superior, La Crosse, Eau Claire, Richland Center, that we know that the cool thing is that we have our Italian Fest, that we have Chesky Den, the Bohemian Fest in Hillsboro. You have Sitten Demai around the state, our Norwegian heritage. And the cool thing is we can celebrate our diversity, but all come together as Americans in our community.
Yeah, I absolutely. And one thing else, and tell me, you know, especially from your point of view as a political operative, well, actually, the first thing I was going to say is a pro-choice Republican in office, they're not even allowed to say they're going to accept the election results, let alone be pro-choice. I mean, that's how fractured it's become in that party. Is like, you can't even say you can accept the election, which 5 years ago, 10 years ago, was like, yeah, of course I accept the election results. What am I going to do? Go to every state and try to sue?
Last time I heard, pro-choice Republicans were officially on the endangered species list. They may be extinct at this point. I'm not sure.
And so one thing we talked about yesterday that Jane really loved to see, she saw older folks. They were dancing. It was Chapel Rowan, correct, Calvin?
Yes, Chapel Rowan's hot to go.
Hot to go. And they were dancing. And what she loved was seeing the young people showing older people the dance moves. And that set off something that I wanted to ask you. You know, we're around the same age. We're Generation X. And I feel like this is
men of a certain age.
We are men of a certain age and gray-bearded value. And the thing, though, is I feel like this is the first, you know, election process, the first DNC where you are seeing those Gen Xers and millennials really come out and start to take control and power and influence over the party and show the older folks, hey, this is how we do it. Come with us. It's really fun. We're getting that message out there, but we get to dance too. So come on.
Right. No, it's been fantastic to see, attributable to this, the true diversity. I'm not just talking about skin color, ethnicity, male versus female. I'm talking about the age difference. I'm talking about the difference of the diversity of opinion. But you're right. I mean, so many more, believe me, so many more young people here at the Democratic National Convention and the excitement. And, you know, Trinity and I both got involved when we were really young. I was all of 12 years old in 1980 when I first started knocking doors for Ronald Reagan and Steve Gunderson and Bob Caston. And that's how I got kind of sucked into it, I guess, because it was thrilling because all three of the people I volunteered for wanted them. Like, well, this is easy. Little did I know. But it's so cool to see younger people. It warms my heart, but also makes me feel like I should put a reservation in for the old folks home. when they're like, I've been in this for quite a while. You know, Obama was my first campaign. I'm like, oh, dear Lord.
Get off my lawn!
right. But I mean, it's so cool. Or you know, the fact that they first volunteered 4 years ago for the Biden. Or so for some, this is their very first campaign. And, you know, I have two nieces. And, you know, my 17-year-old niece went with my sister to the old Claire Walls Harris rally. And she got out and she looked at my sister and she said, that was so cool. You know, just to have, I think Oprah said it really well on CBS This Morning to Tony DeCoppo today. She said, what this means, if Harris is elected, is that anything is possible, only in America. And I think that's such a great thing for everyone, regardless of your political affiliation.
Yeah, I mean, that just, you know, we could talk about this for hours. By the way, if you're just tuning in, we have the effervescent, wonderfully dressed Todd Alba on right now. He is the host of the Todd Alba Show. You can listen to that at, from noon to 2 every Monday through Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. He is coming to us live from Chicago. He is attending the DNC. He's bringing us on the ground reporting of everything going on.
Yes.
And we get a great view as he's walking through the city. But that's the thing, too, is that, you know, there's been such this poison pill thrown on this mention of diversity. And every time you say it, people are like, oh, it doesn't mean one thing. It has such a broad value. And something that I feel like, and this is me as an outsider, I've never been a member of the GOP. I've never heavily voted for a lot of candidates in the party. But the one thing I always notice is when they lose, or they, especially in the presidential election, they always come afterwards. The news people say, all right, what went wrong? What didn't they do? They always talk about the fact that their base is so small and they don't appeal to a wider group. And then the next 4 years, they don't spend doing that. They spend the last 6 months saying, hey, we like you too. So, like, can the GOP, can they become a party of inclusion, maybe on their own terms, not like the Democrats, but in their own version?
I think the short answer is they could, but I don't think that they will.
Yeah.
I don't think they will until Trumpism is politically killed. I'll make sure I say politically.
Yeah.
Because in Trump world, under Trumpism, under MAGAism, I apologize, I'm walking by a loud bus. By the way, let's take a look at this quick. This is, I mean, look at
we're taking a moment with Todd Alba right now.
This is, for those on the stream, this is one of our, some of our Secret Service folks and some of our law enforcement. Look at all this gear.
Oh my goodness.
They load in every day.
I'm surprised they're not like, please, sir, move along.
Well, I'll be tackled at any moment. Yeah. and I may enjoy it. But anyway, it's all the folks that make this thing happen is just remarkable.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I got off on a tangent. What were you asking me?
I was just asking if
I got distracted.
If instead of in the postmortems and the postscripts, can the GOP actually do something about it?
So I think they can, but I don't think they will, because under Trumpism, it's all about Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And we've talked about this with people a hell of a lot smarter than me, like Rick Wilson and others, that Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, these people are not intellectually stupid. They're making a choice to follow Donald Trump. They're making a choice to give up what conservatism actually means in order to follow a dear leader. And until Trump and Trumpism are politically killed, the GOP cannot expand and move on. And that's what's so remarkable about this convention in many ways. Again, for a long time, it was the Republicans who tried to reach out and grow the tent. Here in Chicago, it's the Democrats who are growing the tent.
All right, Todd, we're going to come up against a break. So stick with us. Stay with us. We're going to keep this going with Todd, who's in Chicago right now, live at the DNC. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stick around. Don't go anywhere. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. You are listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network. My name is Greg Bach. I am sitting in for Jane Matt and Air, who is on vacation. Y'all can reach out to us. I think I totally forgot this, Calvin. We can reach out to us. Call us 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Call us, or you can leave a comment on the live stream like our rowdy crowd has been doing today. I love it. I love looking at the live stream comments. You can shoot us a text at the same number, so it's all one number, 855-752-4842. Get in touch. Let's talk. But we're going to go back to our conversation with Mr. Todd Alba, who is reporting live from Chicago at the DNC. And if you can't see it on the live stream, folks, you are missing out on peak fashion right now. It is noise.
Well, you know, the thing is, I don't dress myself all that well usually, but I can't help dress others. And Trigby Olson, who's been with me all week, and he's out here. His wife is back in D.C., and he needed a new outfit, a sport coat and whatever. They had a big fundraiser for Lincoln Project last night, and he forgot his. So he had to go shopping. And so his wife said, you're not picking anything out for yourself. You need to take either a woman with you or a gay man. I was available. So I went and helped him out. It was fantastic.
Wow. Oh, well, sure. I love it. I think I'm really digging the tie right now. And just the whole overall look. Todd, what do you have on the schedule for today? What do we got going on today down there in Chicago?
Well, of course, today the peak is going to be. Hang on one second. I'm getting many messages here from Corey Hartman, our chief engineer. Okay, everything seems to be fine. Sorry about that. On tap today, I'm juggling a lot of things in the air right now. On tap for today, of course, is Vice President Kamala Harris. It is her big night.
Yes.
And I can't wait. I mean, again, I've been watching these conventions because I'm a nerd since I was a kid, since 1976.
It's your Olympics.
Yes, exactly. For a gay former Republican, there are two things, the Academy Awards and conventions. You know, that's exactly it. anyway, tonight's a Kamala Harris, and all the every night has just been so well done. And you work in entertainment, Greg.
Yeah.
The coordination, the logistics, how it looks, how it goes together.
Yeah.
People don't understand what an art that is.
Oh yeah.
And it's a lot of work. It's been doing, been going really, really well. But we'll hear from Kamala Harris tonight. That's the big person tonight. I know there are rumors. As the Trumpster says,
many people are saying.
A lot of people are saying there's going to be a musical surprise, and there are internal bets. Will it be Taylor Swift? Does she make a surprise? Is it Beyonce singing her Freedom song live for Harris's intro? I have it on unconfirmed but fairly good sources. It's not going to be Swift. Apparently, and again, I have to be very careful here. My understanding is Taylor Swift reached out and was told that they didn't want her here for fear it would overshadow Harris's speech. I'm serious. I'm actually serious about that. So I don't think it's going to be Taylor Swift. I don't have confirmed reporting on this. It's just my gut is telling me it's going to be Beyonce.
And have you been sitting in Rumor Corner with Todd and Greg?
Exactly. Pull up a cup of tea.
Exactly. There's a lot of things happening down there. Like you said, there's massive security measures happening. I have to also imagine that Taylor Swift being at the United Center with all of those important political figures is in even like a bigger layer of security as well. I mean, Beyonce, if she's there as too, but Taylor Swift is like her own country at this point. And
Taylor Swift is presidential level security.
Yeah. I mean, so security, safety, we're all about that here at Matt and Aaron Air and at Civic Media. And in all seriousness, it was, you know, there wasn't a major event at the RNC, but at the RNC place itself, there was concerns about any violence. It's been very safe and secure down in Chicago. But we did get a question from Matt in Germantown asking, actually both of them, both Matt from Germantown and Andrew from Maine, was there any political violence against any sitting congressman happening? Anyone who was lightly shoved or made to hurt their feelings?
No, Derek Van Odwin is staying somewhere else, so we have not seen him. Although, you know, this is true, actually. The MyPillow guy shaved his mustache and came here incognito and got in a dust-up with a 12-year-old.
Yeah.
I'm not making that up.
Yep, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that tomorrow on the show. Handle is Noah, and he found Charlie Kirk, and he found Mike Lindell, and I know for a fact that Matt Walsh is right there in costume as well. All three right-leaning, very right-wing pundits, quote-unquote smart guys. Yeah, so we're going to talk about Noah tomorrow. So tune into the show and with my friend Amy. But yeah, you're absolutely right. And these people don't, I mean, like, seriously, like, you don't just get into the face of a child and just start yapping facts at him. Just talk to him.
Unless you're Derek Van Orden, who goes in the face of teenagers in Western Wisconsin and in D.C.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, that way you just get wasted and you yell at some people who are working. That's great. Yeah,
exactly.
So,
but no, I think overall today, people are just really excited to see and hear the Harris speech tonight. It's going to be packed. Security is going to be crazy, as it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. So
it's going to be a fun day. I just got confirmation. Literally, something came across my phone. Molly Ball, I believe formerly of the Wall Street Journal and now at Time Magazine, is coming on our program today in the noon hour.
Oh, that's fantastic.
People will get her perspective.
You got folks listening in right now. You got to listen into that interview that will be happening, you said, with Molly Ball on the Todd Alba Show. That's going to be happening between noon and 2 today. He's been broadcasting from Chicago live along with Earl Ingram, along with Maggie Dunn. We got a great cast of characters down there in Chicago. But we're holding the fort down here in Wisconsin for you, waiting for you.
You're doing a great job. We appreciate it. I mean, it's a team effort all across Civic. We appreciate everybody.
Well, we appreciate you, Todd Alba. Todd Alba, thank you so much for joining us today. Listen to him at noon on the Civic Media Radio Network and Monday through Friday. Todd, you're fantastic. We're going to take a short break.
You're right, Greg.
Thank you very much, buddy. We're going to get hydrated, grab a snack. Don't go anywhere. Stick close. Stay close. Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.